Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of culture is like gravity. It's always present and powerful. And joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran. He is an author, a podcaster, and a national speaker and educator, the fabulous Bill Nye, the owner of Bill Nye Training. Welcome, Bill.
Paul, thanks for having me.
It's always good to have you on the show. And I know culture is something that that is near and dear to you for two reasons. Number one, you have a podcast on the Multifamily Media Network called Leading Your Culture, and you just published a book called Culture Grows. So I guess you are all in deep in culture, and that's great because this is kind of what makes companies tick. And I wanted to find out a little bit about, is it culture is something that we grow, or is it something that we build?
Yeah, that's, you know, I think that's a really important conversation. And some may minimize and say, well, it's just semantics. But it's not just semantics, and I'll tell you why. You know, when you think about the multifamily industry today, it is facing challenges that I don't, quite frankly, I don't know that they've ever faced, from interest rates to government regulation, to the tremendous cost of operating today with insurance and taxes really choking the profitability out of the multifamily assets around the country. So it's a really, really challenging time to be in this business. I think it's been a challenging time to be in any business, you know, over the last few years for sure. But multifamily in particular have seen some really unique struggles. So how do you survive? How do you stay ahead? How do you continue to be, you know, an industry leader? And it all comes down to culture. Now, here's what's important about this this concept of culture is something that grows versus something that you build. And think about it this way: if you're going to build something, let's say you go to a supplier and you buy 2x4s and 2x6s and roof trusses and plywood and screws and nails and all the material you need to build a shed in your backyard, and you have it delivered to your backyard, and you just let it sit there for several months and do nothing, what do you have in your backyard?
A bunch of materials.
Yeah, you certainly don't have a shed, right?
No.
So anything that is built requires you to actively engage to get it built. There's activity that has to take place. But things grow regardless of how much we put into it. Things are going to grow. And I like to use the analogy of, you know, you go to that same spot where you're going to build a shed, and you dig up all the grass. And that's where you're going to put the foundation, the footings for that shed. But over that six-month period, you do nothing. What happens to that? Let's say it's a 10x10 square. What happens to that 10x10 square during that six-month period? Well, you know, if it's in the middle of the winter, nothing happens. But if it's spring, summer, fall, what happens? Stuff starts growing there. Now, here's the thing, Paul. I think it's important for people to understand this. What grows? And the thing that you have to understand is that great cultures always embrace competition. And growth is always a competition. And so, you know, what grows in that spot? It's probably not going to be sweet corn or tomatoes or strawberries or something that you actually want. It's going to be a bunch of weeds, but there's going to be growth. And when you're trying to grow the things you want are having to compete against the things you don't want. There's always going to be that threat. There's always going to be that competition. You know, in the world of, you know, farming or gardening, you know, the what you plant in the ground is competing with weeds for minerals in the ground, for the water that, you know, hits the ground, whether it's through irrigation or natural rainfall, competing for sunlight, because if a weed grows, you know, too large and casts shade onto the what you're trying to grow, then they don't, it doesn't get the sunlight. So, you know, a competition is always there. Well, you know, when you build something, there's no real competition. It happens at your pace. It happens what you want to, which is why I wanted to call this segment Cultures Like Gravity. What do you have to do to make gravity actually present? Nothing, right?
Yeah. It's
gravity
there.
Is always there. Culture's there. And what's interesting is when I talk to business leaders, they either dismiss the power of culture or they completely are confused by what culture really is. You know, people say, oh, well, you know, I mean, you know, we want to put a foosball table in the break room and order some pizzas. And see, they think that's what culture is. They think culture is defined by the little things that you do. And I'm going to talk about this at the end of today's segment. But there's either this confusion as to what it really is, or there's this denial of its power or even of its existence. But the truth is that, and you think about, you know, in your family, when two people come together, guess what happens? Culture begins to grow between those two people. And that culture is, you know, what grows is a byproduct, or the byproduct rather of that culture is, you know, how do you communicate? How do you spend your money? How do you save your money? Well, you know, how you make decisions? You know, the hierarchy and all of those things, you know, come to grow within the culture. And so when organizations are looking at the challenges of today, if they're not saying, okay, we've got to be very intentional about these things, then unfortunately what's going to happen is things are going to grow that they really didn't want to grow. And here's the thing that's really important. I hope anyone listening to this broadcast will really take note of this. Culture is going to grow whether you pay attention to it or not, so it's either intentional or it's unintentional. But here's the important thing. When it's unintentional, it is almost always a mirrored image of the strongest personality. Now, in my book, Culture Grows, I tell a story that really demonstrates this. Years ago, a friend of mine showed me a picture. It was himself, his wife, and they had one son. And he showed me this picture that they had taken at outside of their church. And their son, who was 4 or 5 at the time, was wearing a Spider-Man costume. So I asked about it. I just assumed there was some unique thing going on at church that day that would be the reason why this kid wore a Spider-Man costume to church. But the answer I got shocked me. He said, oh, no. It's easier to let him wear what he wants than to fight him over it. So they let him wear the Spider-Man costume because that's what he wanted to wear, and they didn't want to get into a battle of wills. Here's what's amazing about this, Paul, is that this little boy at 4 or 5 was already the strongest personality in that organization, being the family. And they had an unintentional culture where he was setting the rules. He was setting the boundaries. They had a hierarchy because every culture has a hierarchy. And in that family, the hierarchy was he was in charge. Now, here's what's really sad about this, and I go on to tell this in the book, is that years later, at the age of 14, this same boy decided he was going to use the family car. And he arranged to pick up some of his friends, and they were going to, I don't know where they were going to go, but they had plans to do something. Of course, you know, go somewhere they weren't supposed to go. Of course, he wasn't allowed to drive because he was only 14. He had no permit, no driver's license. He snuck out of the house, got into the family car, and took off down the road in the family car, you know, unlicensed, uninsured, and he had an accident. But fortunately, the accident occurred before he picked up any of his friends. So he was the only one in the car. Now, he wasn't hurt, but the car was totaled. And the family suffered tremendous financial loss as a result because he was unlicensed and uninsured, and so the insurance company wouldn't cover the damages to the car. And so, you know, that's a probably an extreme example, but it's certainly a real example of what happens when you're not intentional about your culture and you allow the strongest personality in the organization, you know, dictate the decisions and the spending of money and again, the hierarchy and all these things. And listen, there are a lot of people out there like, yep, I know someone just like that. I know somebody who's got this incredibly overbearing, dominant personality. And the organization, my office, my company, you know, is a mirrored image of that. And it's almost always chaotic. It is rarely structured and disciplined and productive. Those are what I call in the book, those are what I call the weeds that are growing within your organization who are competing to take charge and be in charge of the organization, if that makes any sense.
It does. It does. Unfortunately, we're going to have to break it here. But we'll be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials, or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of culture is like gravity. It is always present and powerful. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran. He is an author and podcaster and a national speaker and educator, the amazing Bill Nye, the owner of Bill Nye Training. Before we jump back in the conversation, if you'd like to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Bill, you told a very interesting story in the first segment, which was a great analogy for our discussion today. But I know you mentioned that there's only two types of culture. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So one of the things I hear all the time is, and I see this, I see it on LinkedIn, I hear people talk about it, I hear people talk about, you know, well, we want to have a culture of trust. We want to have a culture of, you know, fill in the blank, whatever you want. I saw something the other day. Someone wrote about a culture of remote working. And I thought, you know, remote working is not a culture. Trust is not a culture. These are byproducts of a culture. And so I have a strong conviction. You probably won't hear anybody else say this. I think this is unique to my own personal philosophy. But I have a strong conviction that there's actually only two types of culture. And that's either a culture of freedom or a culture of control. So think about it in, you know, using kind of the farming gardening terms. You know, those are your fruits and vegetables. Now, within your world of fruits, there are lots of different types of fruit, right? Within your world of vegetables, there's lots of different, you know, types of vegetables, but there's fruits and vegetables. And so within culture, because culture grows, I've been saying there's really only two types of culture, and that's either a culture of freedom or a culture of control. Now, within those, you grow many different elements, okay? Just like within the, you know, if you're a vegetable farmer, you grow many different types of vegetables, but you're a vegetable farmer. And so, you know, this is where you grow, you know, trust and respect and appreciation and recognition and you know, your philosophy on working remotely versus, you know, in the office and all those other things that I see people talking about. And here's why I think this is important, Paul. When you make it too broad, it becomes too difficult to master. Things have to be, you know, really, really honed in, I think, in order to master. You know, think about the game of golf. What's the goal in the game of golf? To get the ball into the hole. Well, what hole? Any hole? No. There is a specific hole that you're shooting for. Now, there's many ways to get there. You know, you've got your variety of woods. You have your variety of iron clubs. You have your putter, your chipper, your sand wedge, all these things. But you've got a very specific, clear goal in mind. And I think that is equally important with culture, is to really narrow it down. If you're going to say, okay, I heard what Bill said about, you know, being intentional about your culture, well, then in order to be intentional, you've got to narrow it down. Do we think it's best in our organization, at our property management company, is it best to operate under a culture of freedom or a culture of control? And now I want to spend a few minutes kind of giving some, you know, the variations between those two. So, you know, I think the thing to really ask yourself, you know, a couple of questions to determine which one is the right one for your organization. So, for instance, how experienced is your team? So think about a fast food company. When you walk into a fast food restaurant, I don't do fast food, but I've done fast food. When you walk into a fast food restaurant, you know, what's the typical worker working behind the counter in a fast food restaurant? School kids, right?
Right.
And so, you know, they're inexperienced, they're young. And what's interesting is, for instance, let's use McDonald's as an example. McDonald's is a culture of control. Culture of control simply means that you use processes and policies as the foundation for your company. And so you say to the kid, this is the French fry machine. This is, you know, how you work the French fry machine. This is the temperature. This is the type of oil we use. There's no individual flair put on that. You simply follow the process. And for them, it works extremely well. And they understand that we have a very inexperienced, very young team. And so that's where proven processes and policies, rules, if you will, are really important. Just follow the rules and we'll get a predictable outcome. A lot of companies use a culture of control based on their mission. So, for instance, I'm a veteran of the United States Air Force. Serving in the Air Force, I will tell you that the military is a culture of control. And it has to be, because think about it this way. Imagine that now, you know, I was in the Air Force, but imagine if I were in the Army and you were my commanding officer, we're the infantry, and, you know, we're in a foxhole, and you say to me, I want you to pick 9 other guys and the 10 of you, I want you to run up that hill where the enemy is. Now, if we have a culture of freedom, and I'm a reasonable person of any kind of reasonable intelligence, what am I going to say to you in that moment? A lot of questions to ask, right?
Yeah,
well, first
exactly.
of all, why me?
Yeah.
What do I do if they start shooting at me? You know, I want to have conversations. Well, listen, we're in combat. We can't afford the luxury of having conversations. And so it's follow orders, period, as long as those orders are lawful orders. And so the military, hospitals, you know, emergency rooms, police departments, fire departments, you know, first responders, you know, the airlines, you know, they are all great examples of highly successful organizations who operate under a culture of control because their mission dictates it. So oftentimes, you know, that's what takes you to that point is that the mission dictates it. And so, you know, what is your mission? How experienced is your team? And then there are two other things that are really important. Do you have a proven written process for people to follow? I've been a part of a couple organizations where they had no written process at all, but they were trying to operate as a culture of control. And people were like, well, I don't know what we're supposed to do because there was nothing in writing telling you what to do. So the end result was we were growing a bunch of weeds or chaos. And so you have to have, you know, clearly written processes for people to follow. And then the final element is how involved can leadership be day to day in the operations? If leadership can be highly involved, then this works. But if it can't be, then you might want to look at the other, you know, the other option, which is a culture of freedom. A culture of freedom, you have less rules, but you have a lot of standards. You have a lot of experienced people who know what to do. They don't need the oversight. They don't need the guidance and direction of somebody who's young and inexperienced. You still have some written policies and processes for people to follow, but you're more interested in problem solving, innovation, ingenuity, even individualism. You know, those types of things become more valuable in a culture of freedom. And, you know, listen, I've been a part of both types of cultures. I've been a part of organizations where a culture of freedom was growing and thriving, and I've been a part of organizations where a culture of freedom was, you know, there, but it was more weeds than it was anything useful. I've been a part of great organizations like the Air Force where a culture of freedom, a culture of control was highly successful. But I've been a part of organizations where a culture of control was used, and the really experienced people felt totally stifled and limited by that. And so I think you've got to really understand that, hey, if I'm going to be intentional about my culture, then I need to understand which one is the right one for my organization. And by the way, a lot of companies, I'll just say this before we go to our next commercial break, a lot of companies, they want to implement a culture of freedom to simply make the boss feel like they have control. See, that's not a culture of freedom. That's micromanagement. If that's the only reason you want it is so I feel like I'm in charge, I've got a micromanagement problem. Not a, you know, it's not about choosing the right or the wrong culture.
We got about a minute left. Explain that a little bit more. How would that look in an organization?
Well, in a culture of control, you still, you know, listen to others in the organization. I always say that the real way to define the difference between whether or not you've got a problem with micromanagement versus it's simply a culture of control is how are decisions made? If they're always made by one person, then you've got a micromanagement problem. If you're listening to others, but then one person has the final say, that's a healthy, you know, culture of control where other people, you know, can weigh in, share their experiences, share their thoughts, but you understand in the hierarchy, listen, the COO, the CEO, the regional manager, whomever ultimately is going to make the decision, but other people at least have the opportunity to weigh in and share their thoughts, their feelings, their experiences. When you've got simply a big weed called micromanagement growing, none of that takes place. The boss is just dictating all of the time, and you either like it or, you know the old saying, it's my way or the highway.
All right, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Smart. Smart is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Application fraud in multifamily is a major challenge we're all contending with today, and the risk is ever increasing, making it more important than ever to strive for driving delinquency to 0%. If you could eliminate the worst form of application fraud with just a few clicks, you would, right? With PayScore, accuracy is everything. By automating income verification, they deliver clear, concise, and 100% bank-verified income reports in minutes. No more doubts, delays, or fraud. Just the truth about applicant income. PayScore. Accurate, easy, safe. Visit PayScore.com and start verifying with confidence. PayScore. Click, verify, relax.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of culture is like gravity. It's always present and powerful. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran. He's an author, a podcaster, a national speaker and educator, the fantastic Bill Nye, the owner of Bill Nye Training. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Plumber, boost your bottom line with a custom utility allowance model. And Zentra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared property access. Zentra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. So, Bill, in this segment, I know you want to talk about every culture has its own currency. And I know in your book, Chapter 7 is about culture currency. And the opening sentence in there, or two sentences, says every culture has its own currency. Currency is a critical part of every culture. You may not realize it, but company cultures also have their own unique currency. So let's dive into that a little bit.
I don't hear people ever talk about this, and I think it's grossly overlooked. Think about it in terms of traveling around the world. I lived in Japan. I was stationed in Japan for 3 years. They have the yen. Mexico has the peso. Great Britain, the United Kingdom, they have the pound. You know, even Canada, they have a dollar, but their dollar value is different from the American dollar or the U.S. dollar. So every country is known for its culture, and every culture has its currency. Organizations are no different. You know, your company, your management company, whether you're, you know, ABC, you know, properties or XYZ properties, you have a currency that is alive in your organization right now. And it's really important to pay attention to this, because just like currency around the world, not all currency has the same value. You know, here in the United States, If I offered you a penny or a $100 bill, well, you're going to choose the $100 bill. Why? Because that's high value currency. You know, I was on a plane the other day and a lady picked up a child carrier over her head because it wouldn't fit through the aisle. And when she did, coins started falling out. And I tried to catch these coins so I could give them to her. And she said to me, "Don't worry about it. Those are just pennies." What is she saying? They have no value. Right. And so within your organization, there's currency that's actually being exchanged. Because what's the reason for having currency? It's to exchange, right? It's to exchange. I give you the currency, you give me what I want. You know, you go to the grocery store, you want to buy bread and milk, you know, you exchange currency for that bread and milk. And so within every organization, there's an exchange going on. Here's what I mean. I'll give you a personal example. You know, growing up in our home as a kid, my mother was very stern. And my mom had a very short fuse. It didn't take much to make her angry. And so I was one of six kids, and we were not the model students. You know, we were not the family from a 1950s, 1960s TV show. You know, we were the family from a TV show like you know, Shameless on Showtime. You know, we were a train wreck. We were, you know, collectively speaking, we were not good students. We were not well behaved. We were a mess. And looking back, I recognize that. I didn't recognize it at the time. I was a kid, but because we were just so out of control all the time, and there were so many of us being six. And my mother being who she was, someone who wanted to, you know, rule with an iron fist, my mother valued information. Well, we valued our mother's favor. And so we learned, all of us learned, what the currency was in our home. The currency was information. If I could give my mom, I had three sisters. If I knew one of my sisters was doing something that she wasn't supposed to do, and I told my mom would then give me favor in return. I could maybe, depending on how valuable the information was, whether it was information worth a penny or a nickel or a dime, a quarter, or, you know, $20 bill, depending on how much favor that bought me. So the more valuable the information, the longer the favor would last, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I talk all the time about how every home has a culture and every culture has its currency. That was a currency in our home. It was information. Rat on one of your siblings, you get favor. If it's a small piece of information and something made mom angry tonight, maybe I would get a pass and she wouldn't be angry with me. But I'd wake up tomorrow morning and have to start the exchange all over again, searching for information, you know, to purchase more favor from our mom. Now, Reed Hastings, who was one of the founders of Netflix, wrote a book, and it's one of my favorite books. It's called No Rules, Rules. And in this book, he shares their unlimited PTO or unlimited vacation policy. And he explains how it came to be and how it worked. And, you know, as I read through that, I thought to myself, you know, he's really laying out the currency at Netflix. And so the currency was to care about the three C's. And if you cared about the three C's, and I'll explain that in a second, but if you cared about the three C's, then nobody was going to manage your vacation time. And the three C's meant you cared about the company, the coworker, and the customer. If you had a deadline, you weren't going to take vacation because you cared about the company or the coworker or the customer and that deadline. So you didn't go on vacation. And it was all about context. And what they did was they simply said, you know, hey, if you have a deadline, don't take vacation. If you're in a small department, there's three of you, only one of you can be on vacation at a time. So they had some boundaries. But so it wasn't unlimited like, you know, one would think. And what Reed Hastings talked about in the book was that once we got our culture right, and he didn't use the word culture, but that's really what he was saying. So once we got our culture right and we started growing the things we wanted, we actually had to go to people at Netflix and say, you haven't taken vacation in almost a year. You need to take vacation. He said that no one abused this policy. Why? Because they understood the exchange. They understood the currency. They were so invested in the outcome that, you know, that they were getting up and going to work every day. And there was this incredibly, you know, healthy exchange of, hey, caring about what matters most, and then you can be free to just take as much vacation time as you want. Some limitations on when you can take it and how many can be gone at once, but this is not a 2-week, 3-week, you know, 30-day thing. This is an unlimited amount. And so, you know, companies really need to take a step back and say, what's the currency in our company? Here's a multifamily example. So my wife works for Ventura, and been with Ventura for over 8 years now. And here's one of the things I've witnessed from afar, is that at Ventura, their property management company, they put a premium on problem solving and innovation. Now, in a lot of companies, Paul, problem solving and innovation is set aside for directors and RVPs and, you know, people with, you know, the big titles and the big salaries, but not at Ventura. At Ventura, they're saying, if you see a problem and you've got a solution to that problem, then you're the kind of employee that we want. You're valuable to us. Your problem solving skills, your innovative skills are just super valuable to us. And so this is how you gain recognition and promotions, and that, you know, everybody talks about, you know, just having that sense of security within your job. And that's a big part of it, Ventura. That's their currency. Their currency is innovation and problem solving. You know, I ran a management company in Pennsylvania for many years called Berger Communities. And the thing that really mattered to us was our customer satisfaction. And, you know, we wanted to be known. We were in three states, Maryland, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. We wanted to be known in those markets for the best in those markets for our customer service. And so that became the currency. Those employees that really put the residents first were the employees that were winning awards and getting promoted and all the recognition and appreciation that people are seeking today. And so within every organization, listen, here's an example real quick of cheap currency. Loyalty to the boss. As long as you're loyal to me, then you'll always have a job. You may even get promoted. You don't actually have to be good at your job, just be loyal to me. And here's another cheap currency, gossip. There are people out there who are favored in the organization because they feed their regional manager, they feed their community manager, you know, gossip about other people in the organization. That's currency, but that's low-value currency. You know, that's like the currency from a country where, you know, people are starving to death. It has no real value. And here's the thing. Remember this. The healthier the culture, the more people have good in abundance. And so that, you know, when you've got great currency and lots of it, and it's valuable currency, that's a sign of a truly healthy culture.
All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of culture is like gravity. It's always present and powerful. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran. He is an author and podcaster and a national speaker and educator, the awesome Bill Nye, the owner of Bill Nye Training. I do want to take a moment and thank some of the other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. PayScore, learn the truth about applicant income. Allegiant, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Bill, let's talk a little bit in the time we have left in this segment before we transition into something else, a little bit about how do companies and leaders focus on growing the culture that they want.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully as we've had this conversation, people are listening to it and they say, okay, yeah, all that makes sense, but how do I really do this? And it's a lot of work. You know, growing anything is a lot of work because, you know, and that's, again, one of the importances of understanding the difference between building something and growing something is whatever you're growing always needs to be tended to. The work never stops. You never stop growing your culture. But for people who say, well, you know, okay, so everything you're saying, it makes sense. It's what I want. I want a healthy culture. I want my employees to really enjoy working here. And I want to have really high valuable currency for our organization. But how do I do it? It actually comes down to three things. Number one, the first step to doing this is you got to clearly lay out your expectations. Whether you're a culture of freedom or culture of control, doesn't matter. You lay out your expectations. What do we expect? So this is where you're setting your benchmarks, your metrics, your KPIs. You know, what are your expectations for occupancy, for economic occupancy, for, closing ratios, for lead management, for closing out work orders? Clearly defining your expectations. Every culture is clear. Every good culture, every healthy culture is clear about their expectations. Unintentional culture, you know, whatever grows. But intentional cultures are clear about their expectations. Now think about it in terms of your family. You're raising children. I've never met a parent who didn't have any expectations for their children. Well, why do they lay out expectations? Because that's what every culture does. You have expectations. And so leaders have to be crystal clear about their expectations. And I always say that really good, healthy cultures, not only do they clearly lay out the expectations, but then they do a couple of things. They train to those expectations, they reward to those expectations, and they use accountability based around those expectations. So that's number one, is you got to be crystal clear about your expectations. Number two, you're clear about what you will and will not tolerate. And so this is where you have your employee handbook, this is where you have your SOPs. You know, in the military, we had our uniform code of military justice. You know, these are your core values. You know, this is where you're clear about what will and will not be tolerated. And, you know, every family is clear about what they will and will not tolerate. You know, we were Quakers growing up. And so my parents had zero tolerance for profanity. And, you know, here I am today. I'm a grandfather of three. I've got my fourth granddaughter on the way. So I'll soon have four granddaughters. And my kids and my grandkids have never heard me curse. I just don't use profanity. I can articulate my thoughts without cussing because I grew up in a home where it wasn't tolerated. And I learned to express myself without the use of profanity. And, And so, you know, this is where, you know, people become, cultures become crystal clear about what will and will not be tolerated. These are your laws of the land, if you will. And then number three, and unfortunately, Paul, number three is often either ignored, overlooked, or minimized. And number three is how we treat one another. And I think this is a really important one. A lot of people think, well, if I'm kind, if I'm respectful, then I'm soft. No, listen, that's why you have your expectations and what will and will not be tolerated, you know, as part of your culture. You know, I can fire somebody and still treat them according to what I'm trying to grow in my culture. I can still treat you with respect and dignity and terminate you, right? But I think that a lot of leaders ignore the, you know, how we'll treat one another, because they want to hold that in their hands for when they think they need to be tough. So if we have expectations on how we will treat one another, and somebody does something that makes me mad, and our values are, you know, that we treat people with kindness and respect and dignity, well, now I'm kind of limited. And so I think that's why, you know, a lot of leaders want to ignore this one, is because they see it as, I want to be able to use it the way I want to use it, when I want to use it, which is usually an indication that they want to use it in a way that is actually very harmful to the culture of the organization. You know, angry, you know, threatening, abusive, you know, that sort of. Listen, I've been there. Here's a true story. It's absolutely awful. I was the president of a company, and I was invited to breakfast by the founder and the head of HR in the middle of our company conference. Let's meet early tomorrow morning for breakfast. So I walked from the hotel to this local diner for breakfast, and there was an issue that came up in the company that made the founder of the company angry, and in a public place, in a public restaurant, he took the menu and waved the menu over his head and slapped it on a table and cursed at me because he was so angry. And I'm not kidding when I say this. Everybody in the restaurant turned and looked, and I was so embarrassed to be sitting at that table where this foul language at the top of his voice was used in the middle of a public place. And I looked at my watch a few minutes later, and I said, listen, the conference is about to kick back off for the day. I got to get back over to the hotel. And I got up, and I left the restaurant. And the head of HR started to follow me. And in the middle of the intersection, I turned around, and I held up my hand to the head of HR. And I said, you don't want to talk to me right now. It's best if you just turn around and walk away. And I turned, and I went back into the hotel. Well, later that night at our award ceremony, the founder of the company got up in front of the entire company and said to the entire company, I think we need, and he started just bragging about my leadership and used these terms. He said, the best leader our company has ever had. Now, what do you think those words meant to me in that moment? They were completely hollow. I'm like, there was absolutely no, you know, guardrails, if you will, on how we treat one another. And I realized that as I was trying to put that in place and grow that in our culture, I was going up against somebody who didn't want that grown in their culture. He wanted to be able to use intimidation and his emotions anytime he wanted, any way he wanted. And it was very difficult to grow this in our culture of how we treat one another. But that is a really important part of a culture, is how we treat one another. So for the leaders out there, you say, well, I really want to grow a great culture. Then be clear about your expectations. Be clear about what will and will not be tolerated. And be clear about how we will treat one another. That means your customers, your residents. That means your associates. That means your third-party vendors. You be crystal clear about all three of those elements. And if you do, then you're on your way to growing a really healthy culture.
Well, fantastic. I want to transition into a couple of things. I want to let our audience know that, number one, they can catch your podcast on the Multifamily Media Network called Leading Your Culture, where you talk all about the things we're discussed here today. Mm-hmm. They can pick up your book, Culture Grows, brand new book. Tell people where they can get it.
Yeah, so it's available both in paperback and Kindle. on Amazon. So they can just go to Amazon, go into the search bar, and just type in Culture Grows, Bill Nye, and it will pop up. And there it is. It's available now. It's been available for about 2 weeks. And really pleased with the amount of sales and just kind of the attention it's been getting. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about this, so really thrilled with that. So yeah, they can simply go to Amazon and just type in Culture Grows.
And if they go to the Multifamily Radio website, multifamilyradio.com, for this radio show, on this episode page, there will be a picture of the book with that'll. You click on it, it'll link you to that Amazon page. So, Bill, you sent me a copy of the book. I'm about halfway through it. It is a great book. A lot of great lessons in there. I highly recommend everybody get it. Talk a little bit about, in the last minute that we have, about the other things that you're doing as far as your speaking and training. And if someone wants to reach out to you and book you, how can they do that?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, Paul. So they can go to my website, which is BillNyeApartmentGuy.com, simply BillNyeApartmentGuy.com, or they can email me, Bill@BillNyeApartmentGuy.com. I'm offering sessions on leasing, maintenance, all aspects of operations, certainly leadership and culture. So, my calendar is starting to take really nice shape. I think I've got 13 or 14 confirmed dates booked around the country already for this year. And just excited to be, out there and, doing what I can to help grow and develop people and give them, an opportunity to grow their careers. And look, the multifamily is something I've done for 30 years. It's been good to me. I started out as a maintenance supervisor. And, here I am 30 years later. I've held a couple of C-suite positions, doing a podcast. I'm on your radio show, written this book. And so it's been good to me. And honestly, Paul, I didn't write the book to make money. I wrote the book to share with people some lessons about leadership and culture that will help their career in the way that others have helped my career through the years.
That's fantastic. And you are a treasure to the multifamily industry. And your training is second to none. You were the first course I ever took when I got my designation in multifamily, and it was worked into a friendship that we've had now for many years, and it's something that I do treasure. So I recommend everybody get the book and reach out to Bill if you have a need for training or educating or speaking. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic, Power Panel of Industry Experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.